You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And I want to pause for a minute to thank you for this another privilege. At the same time, being cognizant of the tremendous responsibility of this lesson today, that there may be a spirit from on high who energizes us as the Holy Spirit takes of the Word and makes Christ real to us. At the same time, I may have the spirit of discernment to make application according to your purpose, that it may not be just political, but it may be unveiling truth, that we may be edified by it, built up in the most holy faith, thankful of heart that we're not always in the blind side of things. There are times when we can know. We pray, Lord, for that spirit of truth today. As you sanctify our efforts here, as you cleanse us to your people, make us your people. This blessing, your grace, for Christ Jesus' sake, in his name we ask it. Amen. Pick up our thinking. You'll remember that last week we saw how Ananias and Sapphira conspired together to lie to God and brought a certain amount of gift and laid them at the apostles' feet. And back in verse 3, chapter 5, Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" You'll notice that this is a gift of discernment. Nobody snitched on Ananias, but God knew where it made Peter aware of it. Peter exercised the authority that was given to him. Whosoever sins you forgive, forgive. Whosoever sins you retain, and retain. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed. He exercised that authority. Ananias fell down dead. His wife came in, the same thing took place. You must not lie to God under that type of administration. As we emphasized last week, this is only one of many internal pieces of evidence that show us, if we didn't have some direct statements otherwise, but just the evidence, that God's administrative ways are not that way today. If they were, we'd have an empty place right here. Because there's not a single one of us that sometime or other hasn't lied to God. That's a tremendous lesson to learn and be thankful for, that God's not dealing with us that way today. But you need to understand, and these lessons that we're going through here demonstrate over and over and over and over again things that were commonplace then that are uncommon today. As a result of the manifestation of the power of God at that time, notice as our lesson begins, great fear came upon the people. Notice nobody joined that church. God added to it as he chose. Some of you may think it's strange that we're not copying the book of Acts in this, but this is a principle throughout history. It is not a dispensational thing, this aspect of things. Nobody ever joins God's camp. God adds to the camp those that he selects. You may wonder sometimes why you've never been asked to join this church. When you come here, if the Lord has a place for you, you'll come back because you like the Word. If you don't come back, well, we feel that somehow we've failed our job, but I think the loser in the long run is going to be you, not us. Because God has selected our assembly for that end, I believe. We never ask anybody to join this church. We believe that God has added to us people as he chooses, and those that he adds, they stay. So if you wonder why we never asked you to join, you know now. Notice that great miracles were performed. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all of one accord. There was no discord in that assembly. Thank God we've had accord. See, this is the work of God when you have accord. And I don't mean accord in reference to programs or where we're going to play basketball next week. But we have accord on the Word of God, you see. And God will give you that if you really put it in His hand. We have that. It sometimes scares me because I'm looking forward to the day when Satan is going to create a disruption in that fellowship. It just worries me night and day. I feel like Job of old. You know, Job said, "The thing I most feared has come upon me." So pray about that. The Lord will keep the unity here. You'll notice this verse 13. No man dare join them. See? But what had? Verse 4. The believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Now, we've seen already the first time Peter preached, 3,000 people responded. Men, women, and children. Second time Peter preached, 5,000 men. Doesn't tell us how many women and children. And now, a great multitude. Both men and women. However that number is, I don't know. But by now, just in 3 or 4 days' time, we have an assembly of people. To be conservative, I think, would be 20 or 25,000 people. The work of God is getting off to a good start here. You can see that. But you should begin to see the resistance, too. Notice the manifestation of the power of God was so obvious that just to fall under the shadow of Peter as he walked along the street, people were healed. Verse 15 and 16. Not some of them, but notice, everyone. Now, because of that, notice, they were told of the angel in verse 20 to go speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. What are the words of this life? At this point in time, the only ones that were performing the miracle were the apostles, as far as the record goes. What the authority was in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with other tongues. They shall lay their hands on the sick and they'll be recovered, and so on. So they were to occur, you see, they were not only to carry out the manifestation of the grace of God upon Israel, but they were to inform the people that everybody that believed would have that same authority. This is an exercise of the government of God right before their eyes. In the papers we're writing now on Elijah's coming, one of the papers we're going to be writing, the title will be Straight Ahead Lies the Book of Acts, because we're moving fast toward that position. Well, suffice it to say that they were arrested. And they were arrested, notice the charge. Verse 28. Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you filled Jerusalem with this teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us. When he was hanged on the tree, our Lord, that same crowd said to Pilate, just before they took him to hang him, nail him on that tree, what? His blood be upon us and our children. Now they wish to deny it. You see? Now, in the interim, when they arrested these men, they put them in prison because it was eventide. And they called the council, that's the Sanhedrin, and the Senate, to bring these men before them. When they went down, they found an empty jail. Our Lord had been busy during the night. He dispatched an angel from the throne room, went down and opened up the prison doors, and he said, "Now you fellas go right back to the temple and you start preaching there, but I want you to preach the words of this life. Because all of God's people are sharing this, not just you." See? These same signs are to be theirs. That's obvious. We don't have those signs. See? Something must have taken place. And this is what Christendom, this is the mistake Christendom has made, is a failure to recognize the administrative change that took place in this transition from the old to the new. It concludes in the last chapter of the book of Acts. But I want you to know that these men were impounded in prison, incarcerated, on a charge of their being guilty of doing something unlawful. In fact, the fact is the thing that they were doing was absolutely correct. They were charging the enemy of what he was guilty of. I want to make application about what I've been witnessing on two trips I've made to the penitentiary down in Texas. These prisoners down there are unusual prisoners. They're white-collar prisoners. They're men who are men of the world, men who very little of Christianity ever touches, because they see the hypocrisy of religion. Rightly so, too. Most of these men have been in life, men in responsible position. I met a man there this time who was out when I was there before with his attorneys. But I met him this time. His home now is in Brazil. Rather, not in Brazil, it's in West Texas, but temporary in West Texas. But he's an American citizen. He owns a company in Brazil. Now, the details I tell you may not be right, but the gist of everything I'm saying is correct, because looking at things as they tell it, I don't always get the whole picture, but I'll give it to you the best I can. I'm not trying to be deceptive about it. This man owns what in Brazil is equivalent to what Sunshine Biscuit Company is in America. He sells lots of biscuits up here because he's American. He knows the trade up here. He's in jail there supposedly for fraud, and yet he has all the receipts of what he's being charged fraud of, delivery, having received the money, and they having received the goods. The man was kidnapped. Now, again, I'm just taking his word for this, although I've seen the transcript of the trial, and it's unbelievable. The man was actually literally kidnapped by our State Department, flown to Puerto Rico, and arrested on American soil. He has a suit against the United States government for $20 million. It's coming up in July. And he says, "I'm going to win it." And said, "I hope not just to get the money, but I hope to put some of those fellows back behind the bars where they belong." Now, whether he's going to do that, this is the type of prisoner they have out there. Now, the other type of prisoner they have are Mexican wetbacks. They're in this country as aliens. They're here. They keep them in that place 4 months and ship them back to Mexico, and they cross back over the line to get them and ship them back in. It's a process. They never had it so good. The food's wonderful down there, and they have liberty that's unbelievable. They don't have any pistols or anything like that. This is a minimum security place. These are the kind of men I talk to down there. Not just one, I wish scads of them down there. Most of those white-collar prisoners have been men who could buy and sell their guards. They're men who know what's going on in this world. And they're mad. bumper sticker out front there. It says, "I'm mad too, Eddie." You know, Eddie's liable to wind up down there. He's becoming that type of man too. I tell you that because to let you see what's happening to our nation. It's a dangerous thing. I realize that they've told me their side of it, but the reason I can believe it, the majority of what they said is valid, because I had the privilege of dealing with a man in charge while I was there for about 30-40 minutes. His whole conversation, I didn't say anything to him, he just came to me with it. His whole conversation was to justify his position as guarding the prisoners. He had a job to do. And it's sad. The beautiful thing is, though, that these men, for the first time, have been put in a place to where they cannot, with all of their wisdom, get out of the corner. They're boxed in. And it so happens that a man that I had the privilege of introducing the mystery to about 15 years ago is one of those prisoners. And he has begun to open up the book to them down there. And it's like honey, and the flies are really coming. To give an illustration, I started with them prisoners about 11 o'clock in the morning and didn't even go to lunch. Stayed with them until 3. That wore out, so I went back to the hotel and went to bed. I came back at 7. I was from 7 with them till 10 o'clock. Lights out at 10. They had to go back to their room and check in. They went back and checked in, came back to the auditorium. I was with them till midnight. And finally, the man over the prison said, "I'm sorry, fellas, but just got to break it up. Midnight." You see, for the first time, they're seeing the Word of God. And I say, these are smart men. They're not the common type of criminal. Most of them, I'm sure, have done things in life that they deserve to be there. But the pitiful thing about it is they're there on technicalities, not on the charges of what they've done. And they're resentful, and they're mad, and rightly so. Reminded me, when I was thinking about that, of our lesson today. Humanly speaking, you can see how Peter and John must have been mad too. But there's one thing, and I call this attention to their mind. I said, "Look, you do all you can to restore the truth and do what you can, but don't let this make you bitter to the point of being vengeful. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Don't rob God of his vengeance." I reminded them that God does not pay off in October, but he does pay, and he pays through the teeth when he does. And I said, "You fellas right here, good example of that. You're here not, and you're bitter because you're here on a false charge, but in reality, you deserve to be here." And you know every one of them agreed with that. They said, "Yeah, that's right." They don't like what they're there for, that's all. And of course, I could say that to all of you. Actually, as far as breaking the law is concerned, every one of us certainly could be down there. I know I could. I don't know about the rest of you. In my lifetime, I've broken laws that put me behind the bars if they'd caught me at it, you see. And they know that. But what they're mad about, and rightly so, they're down a false thing, you see. They don't like it. I don't blame them. But our nation is making men who, they're breaking down the strength of our business people because they've got to break them down. The rest of us hogs already been penned. But you see, the same spirit works then as it does now. This, as Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. And they might say, you need to pray earnestly this year. This is a year of testing. I believe 1980 is a very important year. So many things could turn on this year. But you'll notice the charge against them was that they were preaching in the name of Jesus. Oh, I don't want to overlook this too. I can imagine when this austere council gathered and they sent the guards to pick them up and they didn't bring them back. Somebody had egg on their face, you know what I mean? Because the guards reported, said, you know, that the prison was all locked up. The guards stand there with our and everything. But when we opened the prison, look, the prisoners were not there. You see, another thing is, an injustice under this administration here, God would act. Those fellows down there, wrongly, God's not acting. They're there. He hasn't sent his angel down there. Unless you consider me, and I don't have any wings. You know, and I didn't get him out. I didn't go down there for that purpose. But God's doing a marvelous work. And it's sad. The sad thing about it, the chaplain down there, poor fellow, doesn't believe this book. And so with him, he's just a public relations man, that's all. That's why he made give me so much freedom. He wants to establish good public relations. I'm sorry he's not here this morning to hear this sermon. I don't know whether he let me back in or not. But in any case, the Lord's doing a marvelous work up there. Pray for that down there. But I want you to notice again what the Holy Spirit calls to our mind in this. Verse 30. The God of our fathers raised up, he's talking now to the council, raised up Jesus whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Notice the charge is forthright. There's no technical language here. He's telling it like it was, you see. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and savior. Notice what for? For the salvation of the world. No, that's not the subject here at all. This is for repentance toward Israel. Turn them. You see, beloved, you need, I repeat this so many times, I know you must get tired of it, but I want it to burn into your mind that this happening here is under the administration is entirely different than what God is doing today. He was dealing with Israel as a nation. God is not dealing with Israel as a nation today. He's dealing with the nations. Here, the purpose, as far as these apostles were concerned, was that God wants to turn Israel as a nation. God's not trying to turn Israel. Well, he may be beginning to do that now, but he hasn't been for 2,000 years. We are moving toward that point again. As I said, one of the papers I'm writing on now, straight ahead lies the book of Acts. We won't have a rerun. But at this point in time, God was dealing with them as a nation. And you see every point of the way through this book of Acts that this is true. That's what was in process. Even the Gentiles, as he's brought in, is toward that end. And you'll see that too. But at this point in time, everything is centered to turn Israel as a nation. God's every effort here is toward that end. This is why the great miracles, the wonders, everything. Nobody said, well, when Peter walked the wrong street, the reason you didn't get healed when his shadow hit you, that you didn't have faith. In fact, the matter is, I'm sure that those people who were healed when Peter's shadow touched him, didn't even know they were going to be healed. They were just sick, that's all. just his shadow. There's that leper. I can see him. Look here. My hand's clean. He was surprised. He just liked the beggar at the Temple Beautiful. He was surprised, you see. But God wants all of God's people under his government to have that same authority. And that's why he reminded the angel. The angel reminded him, said, when you go back to the temple, you tell them that God, concerning the plan of life, which is inclusive of the people, being able to be a channel to minister the things of God. That's what Israel as a nation was eventually to be called to do. They never have. They've never been obedient to that. There will be. It's coming a day when every Jew will be a vessel of honor to God. 10 men should take hold to the skirt of the Jew. Say, we will go with you, for we've heard that God is with you. See? There never has been that time in history, but there will be. And all this was in prospect. That's why Peter emphasizes to the elders of Israel at that time that God had sent his son to die on the tree in order that Israel might turn to their Creator. Of course, God has some much larger plans, but that's not revealed here. And that's not what's being talked about here. This is talked about the things that God is doing toward the nation. And in the indignation of these elders, they turned on the stewards of God, arrested them, because that threatened their preeminence and power. And that's exactly what every political prisoner does to any powerful government, is to threaten their power. That's why they've got to get rid of them. That's why these men were arrested. After all, Peter and John were fishermen. Can you imagine the government of the United States getting disturbed on men who are fishermen, who catch fish for a living? In their anger, they were going to just really take it out on them. But you know, God always has something to kind of soften things down. They had a real liberal there. I mean a real liberal. Not just a tag of a liberal, but they had a real one there. His name was Gamaliel. He sat on the board of Harvard University. See? And he said, wait a minute, fellas. That's going to move so fast here. He's a very superstitious fellow, you know. He's got religion real up to here. He said, we got to be careful about this thing now, lest we don't rush in here. We made a mistake when we nailed that other fellow to the tree out there, and look what a commotion that's called. Now, look at that crowd out there. Keep in mind that in just 3 or 4 days' time, about 25,000 people have become followers of these 12 men. And I can see them looking over the old specs, you know. And this one man raised up and said, wait a minute, fellas, look at that crowd out there. We made a mistake here three months ago, and we nailed that fellow Jesus to the tree. And it's true, they're coming and charging us, but we'll take it easy. Now, if these men are just rebels, so I want to call to your attention a couple of cases. Notice. Verse 34. Then stood up there one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law. I really said that wrong, I guess. This is probably Mr. Berger. Anyway, he said, you got to watch this, you see. And he had a reputation. Doesn't say this man evidently was really had a reputation, not a real reputation. among all the people, he commanded to put the apostles forth. He said, now, set them fellows over here, because we need to talk about this in private. And I said, look here, man. You take heed to yourself what you intend to do with these men. Now, he said, there's a fellow named Theudas. You remember? Some time back. He had about 400 people behind him. And he raised up a challenge to our authority. And you know what happened to him. And they were, all of them that obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. Now he said, this man, there's another man raised up, Judas of Galilee, in the days of taxing. And drew away many people from him. But said he perished. He said, they're just common rebels. But these fellows here, they're fishermen. They don't act like regular type. They're not the common herd of criminals. He had discernment. You know, he was a pretty good judge of human nature. Look them over. He said, what they've said against us isn't altogether untrue, you know. We did. We hanged that fella. And we did say to Pilate, his blood be upon us and our children. So they really haven't said anything untruthful. All that they're claiming is the Constitution. And that's all the Constitution does say that. It's just, well, we recognize we don't pay attention to it, but it does say that, you know. We have to consider that. Because it's just an outside chance now. Notice. And I say, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this council, this work be of men, if it's just an uprising of men, it ain't going to get anywhere now. Roman government is going to see to that. We ain't got to worry about that. Roman government not going to let them rebels get away with that. Because they want law and order. They don't want a war. They want peace. So we haven't got anything to worry. They can't challenge us if it's just men. But, and here's one of them buts of the Bible. You know, I say a lot about the word but in the Bible. But, if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found to fight against God. I thought about that man in the prison down there who charged justifying himself. he like old Gamaliel, you know. He's playing both ends against the middle. He sees something here he don't like, but he sees also a good job here, and he don't want to lose that either. And just in case that what we're doing down there, and I might say this in passing too, that whole prison is aware of these Bible classes. Man, are they aware of it? It's amazing. I'm sorry, some of you folks didn't get to go with me to experience what we had down there. It was terrific. They're aware that God is doing something, because they never had anything like that happen around there. Just in a short period of time. And old Gamaliel senses that too. He said, now, if we happen to be wrong about this, we're in trouble, because if this work is of God, and I can hear the conversation going on down there, well, fellas, we better treat that guy all right coming down here. And they have. They give me open house. And get this in mind. It isn't because they believe the Bible. The chaplain don't believe the book. But he wants good public relations, you see. Everything's going fine. Just in case. You see? Just in case. They play both ends against the middle. See, that's exactly what it is. You can sense it. And that's old Gamaliel, he is too. He's riding the fence here. Well, if it's of God, we can't win this fight. And to him they agreed. And they called the apostles, and notice, and he beat them. Put the fear of God in them. See? They're going to beat them. You know, that's what they do to this fellow down there, too. They put the, they make it so fearful that if you don't draw the line, you could go down to one of these maximum security, McAllister, and they'll give you the real treatment works down there. You won't have the liberties that you have here. This, we're just beating you a little bit here to break your spirit. Watch how you walk the line. Oh, it's a subtle thing. They beat them and they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. About two more trips down there, that's what will happen. That black man that I led to the Lord the last time I was down there, I didn't lead him to the Lord. I didn't even know he was there. He's sitting over in the shadows. He wasn't even in the class. He'd been over there listening all the time. He came up to me after class. He said, "You know, I don't know the Lord." Great. Oh, huge. I wish you could see him. He stands this high and he's this wide. And he said, "Oh, I don't know the Lord." I said, "Would you like to get acquainted?" He said, "Sure would." So we sit down. And 5 minutes later, you know that fella? He's every time they meet any group at all about the Bible, he's there. He's there. He's a monster of a man. And gentle as a little child. But I can see him if you get him mad. He kind of rough the hand. You know? I'd hate to hear somebody tell him he couldn't speak in the name of Jesus. Because he can barely read and write. He can't hardly write at all. He barely scratch his name. He has to take and read one word at a time. Nothing wrong with his eyes, but I mean, he doesn't have the ability. He doesn't have the mind that can rationalize things too much. And you tell him he can't do something as big as he is, that's like that advertisement of where does a gorilla sleep, you know? Sleeps wherever he wants to. And, you know, that's the same thing. It's kind of that way. They said you couldn't talk in that name. But notice what? They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, and they quit preaching. Oh, sir. Daily, every day, the same pests were down there at that temple. And notice where they went. They went to the temple. Of all places to go. And it didn't stop at the temple. They went from house to every house. They're worse than the Jehovah's Witness. And they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. You see, you don't scare a free man. No way. Man, I wish we had that spirit today. We'd turn this nation around. I think it'd be good for you. I don't know if it would or not, but sit down sometime this week and reread some of the things that God did with our forefathers. For instance, read Washington's farewell address. Read Patrick Henry's will. Not his famous speech, "Give me liberty or give me death." That's, read that too, that's great. But I mean, read his will. Read Mr. Morris when Cornwallis, who had his home for his headquarters, and they were attacking that city, and it was the most beautiful home in that city. That's why Cornwallis commandeered it for his house, his headquarters. And he said, "Well, Mr. Morris, what are we going to do about your house?" He said, "Blow it to hell." empty. That's what I'm talking about. You never read it, a little book you ought to get called They Signed for Us. You never read it, you ought to read it. See what happened to all the men who signed the Declaration of Independence. As an instrument of God, that's the reason you're sitting here, because they signed that document. They paid the price too, brother. Faith of our fathers living still. By fire and soul. Hearts united when every faith of our fathers.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.